Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner and I have with me a man that I met in London. Did I meet you in London? I
mean, London at the Upreneur Summit. And I want to say November 2018 is when we
met. Yes, look at you. That is exactly the right thing. And you got asked to be on stage and I busted out my phone and took all kinds of pictures of you. And people thought you were the main session speaker. And maybe you were.
Maybe for a minute.
Yeah.
For just a minute.
So we are talking today about NFTs, specifically. You caught my attention a few months ago because I knew NFTs were hitting the mainstream and you were buying these expensive NFTs and you weren't shy about it.
Right. I mean,
you were basically saying, hey, watch, not in a bragging way, but you were basically like, I think there's something here.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be big and I'm willing to take people on the journey. So give us the story, Andy.
Yeah, for sure. So, just the quick background foundation. I'm, a business guy, author, speaker, podcaster, kind of like you. Don't come from a technical background by any means. Mm-hmm. I've been in corporate consulting for 10 years. I have a book. I do a lot of speaking in companies, things like that.
And hold up your book and tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah. So the book is called, it's on the poster behind me too. It's called Own Your Career, Own Your Life, Stop Drifting and Take Control of Your Future. Published it in November of 2020. And it's all about helping people take ownership of their careers and take control of their future. And so I get to speak in a lot of companies to help employees with that. Something I'm really passionate about, after all the work I've done, personal development work in my own life about, living a much more of an intentional life. And I want to help a lot of other people do the same thing. So that's my focus. But to tie it in with this, I started getting really into personal development back in 2016. And one of the influential people I started following was Gary Vaynerchuk or Gary V, right? And Gary V is prolific on social media. He's got several best-selling books. He's got millions of followers on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it. You can see him everywhere. And he's got a very positive message. And I always loved his message. And so I've been following him for quite a while. And back in the beginning of 2021, he started talking a little bit more about cryptocurrency, Web3, blockchain, and especially NFTs, and saying, people really need to start looking into NFTs. So I started doing, research, Googling, learning whatever I could. And at first, it's really confounding. Like, it didn't make sense to me. Like, what is this? I don't understand. Going back and forth with my best friend, Bennett, who was also kind of getting into it a little bit at the same time. Mm-hmm. And roughly April 2021, Gary said, I'm going to be launching this project, NFT project, and you've got to have some ETH, some Ethereum ready to go if you want to buy into this thing. And you really need to have some, because I think it's going to be a great opportunity for a lot of people. And, background for people that don't know Gary, don't follow him. He's got a huge following. He never sells anything to his followers other than a book. Like, every couple of years, he comes out with a book and he's like, buy my book. And that's about it. All his money is in the corporate space with his digital marketing firm. And so if he says, like, you need to go buy this, like, I believe him. It's a good opportunity. And luckily, coincidentally, in January of 2021, a good friend of my wife's got us into cryptocurrency and we started buying into Bitcoin and Ethereum, mostly Bitcoin. And then I heard Gary talking about Ethereum on his podcast. And so started buying that as well. So we had been buying in at, slightly lower levels as it was climbing up in the first half of 2021. I think Ethereum might've been 1700 when I started buying it. And by the time that VFriends, Gary V's project came out, it was at an all-time high of like 4,100 or something like that, which was interesting. Coincidentally, as he was launching his project, ETH was hitting an all-time high. And it was a little bit crazy. It's one of those, like, I believe in this guy. I think I understand what this is, but this is still a lot of money. I ended up buying 5 VFriends for 20 ETH, which at the time was worth about $40,000. And I'm by no means a rich man. My wife was on board with me, but we had some money. aside. We had some money. We had been investing in cryptocurrency, and I believed that he was going to be building something cool with this project. And it took a few days for it to sell out, but eventually it did and went quick at the end. And it's been an amazing ride since then, right? You and I are recording this in January. So it's been, it came out in mid-May. So it's been about 8 months since that came out. And the value, I ended up adding one more later in August that I picked up for quite a bit more. I think it was $32,000 for one more
just
of those
fee
friends. Just one. Yeah. A picture of a shark called a shoed shark. And so yeah. I now have six of those. They've gone up in value quite a bit. And after that, I was hooked and I just started looking at other projects. Again, I mentioned my friend Bennett, who is a good friend of mine, was also getting into it. He got hooked as well. And we both just started diving in. The other project we got into, I think is worth mentioning because there's so many possibilities with NFTs and we can talk about what you can do with them. There's a whole gaming side and gamification side of NFTs. And one of the first ones we got into besides VFriends was a really popular game called Zed Run, which is a digital horse racing game where you Zed Run, Zedrun. And I think my friend Bennett found out about it. We both found out it because the New York Times did a write-up about them back in like April or something. Because all these people are playing it. You can buy horses, you can breed them, you can race them, you have a stable, all that, like anything you can do in real life with horses, you could do that in this game. And
is this one of those two where you race it and then you could lose it? Or is that different? Because I know there's
you could race it and you could win money. And I think if they lose, then like they might like start losing some of their abilities over time, you know, that kind of thing. But there's like rarity traits and all these things. Yep. So I'm not much of a gamer. I haven't played, you know, many video games in 20 years until very recently started playing a game with my kids. But we saw a business opportunity that we could possibly be buying these horses and breeding them and creating like monthly income. And so we took a chance on that. And it didn't really work out the way we thought it would. We ended up getting out and selling those close to break even and then invested in another project that kind of took off. And so we had like a shared fund together, he and I, and then he was also doing his own individual investing. I was doing individual. And it just, you get hooked into these things because it's like community-based. There's so much action going on, so many things going on. And it's been a fun ride.
So I got to just say it, man, because I heard the word NFT for the very first time in March last year from a friend named Tyler. And it took me 5 minutes to understand because he explained it well. He said, you know, does your kid play video games? And I'm like, yeah, Fortnite. And then he talked about skins. And then he talked, and then immediately my mind started going with, oh my gosh, we're in a pandemic.
Yeah.
You no longer see people physically. You see them virtually. People used to pull up in a sports car in person. Now they pull up in a NFT online, immediate social currency. Like my mind just started going nuts. And like the term is you go into the hole, the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a term in blockchain. Like you fall down the rabbit hole, like a matrix reference.
I think you had an advantage over me because I think your kids are a little older than mine. We haven't gotten to Fortnite or anything like that yet, but I've heard about that and people buying skins, and it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because it's all about social signaling, right? It's showing off what you're able to buy, what you like, your style. We've been doing it for centuries, right?
With
the cars we drive, the horses we ride, the houses we live in, the you know, handbags we carry, the t-shirts and hoodies we wear, you know, whatever it may be, we're always signaling with the things that we have. Watches are a great, great, great example, right? Whether you wear a Rolex or a Casio, that says something about you and who you are and what you like. And, you know, we're just transferring that over to the digital world. And you think about being able to show off your digital wallet and say, hey, look, you know, 5 years from now, I bought one of these original VFriends and now they're worth, you know, a ton of money. Like, whoa, that's cool. Right. Or you're in this project or, you know, you follow this guy. Like it just, it's a signal and there's art and all that stuff.
It's been going on for years. Like you said, it used to be the music group. Oh, I liked, like in our town, it's 21 Pilots because that's where they are, you know, they actually went to the school my kids go to now, you know?
So
now it's like, man, I followed 21 Pilots when, you know, there was 100 people at the show and now they fill out nationwide, you know,
Yeah.
We've always said that. I mean, even go back to our ancestors. I'm sure they used to say, look at that guy. He's got a feather.
That's right.
He's got an eagle feather. Yeah. Wow. He must, you know, he's got some street cred. So, I get it, but I got to say for the haters in the room, you spent $32,000, for lack of a better term, someone could say, on a JPEG.
That's right.
That somebody else could take pictures of.
That's right.
And again, you get it. I get it. Provenance, all this stuff. But talk about that. Did you have in-laws or family members be like, what did this dude smoke?
Oh yeah. My family, my dad especially, who's a longtime, you know, investor in the market, is like, what are you doing? You're trading the pictures. This is total. It's going to be a bust and all this stuff, right? And there's, it's a bubble, right? A lot of people are saying, and it could be eventually. I think there will be some type of downturn. A lot of people look at it, and I think that's the first thing people go to. And I had this conversation with my 7-year-old daughter just this week. Like, I don't understand. I could have done that, or anybody. Because I think maybe when you and I first started chatting about this, I had posted a picture. Not only had I bought that shark, but I also bought a mutant ape for $32,000. And it's just a picture. It's a cool picture of this.
Is it a bored ape?
It's in the Bored Ape family. It's the Mutant Ape Yacht Club, which is a derivative. Yeah. So Bored Ape Yacht Club came out in April, 2021. It's pretty much the most expensive project on the planet now. Yeah. The cheapest one you can get, I think, is about $220,000. There are only 10,000 of them. They have two derivative projects. One was the Bored Ape Kennel Club, which are the dogs, and then the Mutant Ape Yacht Club, which are these mutant apes that came out. I want to say in September, August, I'm not sure exactly when. Those have gotten pretty expensive as well. So we bought one of those on the secondary market as the run up. And I think I shared that on like Facebook and Instagram, and hey, I bought this thing for $32,000. And that one, at least, like, it looks like it's really good art. The shark from Gary Vee is just like, it's his doodles, right? So a lot of people are joking, like, hey, I'll sell you a drawing. Like, I can do that, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, yes, you can copy it. And I can also go to your house and take a picture of your house. And I can also take a picture of a Picasso and tell you it's mine, but it's not, right? It doesn't matter. And this is provable on the blockchain. You know, this is the Blockchain Life show, right? It's provable on the blockchain.
Yes.
Who owns it? Where, when they bought it, how much they bought it for. It's all essentially public record, decentralized. And so anybody can see if something is like a legitimate, it's scarce, it's rare, how many there are legitimate or not. And the other thing that, and I was trying to actually explain this to my daughter last night, and she's like, I could do that doodle. And I was like, well, it comes from Gary Vee, and he's this famous entrepreneur. Sure. And so it's worth a lot more because it's from him.
Oh yeah.
And one of the things I love about NFTs, to take it back to what you're saying about 21 Pilots, is I think what it's going to create for us that we just see just getting a taste right now is the ability to invest in and support entrepreneurs, artists, musicians that we're excited about on kind of a ground level. So, up until this time, the only way you could really invest in something is a publicly traded company, real estate. Maybe you're technically an accredited investor and you can invest in an early startup, right?
Yes.
But think about, you're in that town that you're in, right? You're watching 21 Pilots. You're like, this is a pretty cool group. They're just struggling and trying to keep going. So they release an NFT project, right? And to raise money to keep them going. Maybe it's $500 per token to buy into it. And you buy one or two to support them, right? Now, a few years later, they're this famous band selling out arenas, right? Your NFT is worth a lot more. So before this, if you caught on to an artist or band early, you get excited about them, they move on and become successful, you get nothing for that other than like telling friends like, oh, I knew them when they were, before they were big. Or you might even be bitter, be like, oh, they sold out. Like I was now you're excited because you almost have like equity in their success, right? Their success is your success. And the other really cool thing is, because of smart contracts, which are built behind these NFTs, they could have it built into the smart contract that every time one of those tokens is sold, they get 5 or 10% of the royalties, which is what we're seeing with a lot of these NFTs. So as long as they continue to be successful, I think about this, like Picasso is the most prolific artist in the history of the world, right? Imagine if he had a contract behind every painting, even those early ones that he sold for $20 because he was nobody, sure, and are now worth tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars,
yeah,
that his family and foundation or whatever gets royalties every time they're sold at a Christie's auction. This is the potential that we have in the future. And then why a lot of people are calling it the creator economy, because it's really going to reward creators. And it gives us, as we'll say, fans, an opportunity to jump on board and support. And so, you know, just to tie it all back to like that drawing of a shark, it comes from Gary Vee. I'm a big fan of his, right? And I believe that he is going to just keep getting bigger and make a bigger impact on the world. Yeah. And as he does, these things become more valuable, and I can reap rewards for that.
I love what you're saying. This is very deep philosophically, that people's equity, because that's what you're talking about. You said people now have the ability to invest in other people.
Yeah.
And let's take the 21 Pilots example. Prior to NFTs, you could say, oh, well, I got an autograph from them. But how, right, do you know it's an autograph?
Right.
I mean, this is back.
Oh, bring that to all the time. Like an artist releases a, you know, a print, right? Yeah. It's a one of 100.
Yeah.
How do you know? How do you know, yeah, there's only 100? How do you know he didn't create more? Oh, there's a certificate of authenticity. How do you know, yes, that's real? Right. Now we do. The blockchain can prove that.
Now, because of the blockchain, you can actually, for all the world to see,
yep,
decentralized, time stamped, the whole bit. So I do think that it takes people at different levels, a little bit of understanding, like to see it. But once you see it,
mm-hmm,
oh my gosh, yesterday, and by the way, I'm interviewing multiple people a day. That's how jacked up I am. I'm
excited. Yeah.
But yesterday we had, you know, and I said, what do you guys want me to call you guys? Cause you know, people have, you know, African-American, Black, they're like, call us Black. So we had two Black 20 somethings,
yeah,
who are taking blockchain and they are going into car deeds. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, they told me every car is sold 4 times in its history. Imagine if Honda created an NFT.
On average, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Imagine if Honda got a piece of that sale.
Yeah.
Every time. And you know, wow. And then they got into luxury items, and then they got into actually prisoners who are creators.
Hmm.
And they tied it to a 501c3. So people who want to create a new life for prisoners buy the NFT. It's a tax write-off. It goes into, yeah, an Ethereum liquidity pool, which, you know, I'll have to interview someone about that because I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But then it creates generational wealth so that people aren't in this inner city stereotype history,
yeah,
where you can't break out. I mean, it's mind blowing.
The possibilities are huge, right? I think there's a lot of possibilities for nonprofits.
Yes.
You know, as well as startups to raise money and say, you know, I'm actually buying this NFT, and therefore I have a piece of this collection, and I'm contributing money either to the nonprofit or the startup. And that's, yes, kind of like your share, right? And you can always sell that later. Maybe it comes with some art, and then they still get royalties based on that.
Yes.
And if it's done right, it could come with a lot of really cool things. So you think about a lot of nonprofits that do these like silent auctions for, yes, access to certain, right, things. You know, NFTs a lot of times are usually tied to some type of access. So you can do it that way, where you've got this easy thing, you know, you do a launch and people can get this, and it gives them access to maybe some celebrity or, you know, dinner or something like that. And then they can prove they're part of this club. You know, I support the, you know, whatever, I'm trying
Save
to think
the of sharks or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like some good, you know, United World Way or Vision, whatever. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big brothers, big sisters. Like, I'm a big brother, and look, I've got this NFT to prove it. And I've been a member and I support at this level, and there could be different levels. Once you throw in the access stuff, I think that's huge too. You know, take it back to the bands like 21 Pilot, if they did, right, something like that, you know, they could do it where the top level NFT, or maybe it's randomly, someone gets backstage access to every, yes, show, right?
Yes.
That's very possible. And actually, there's a band doing that. I don't know if you've heard of the band, Avenged Sevenfold. They're kind of like a hard rock. Okay. I think they're more hard rock metal space. They've been around for many years since, yeah, I don't know, maybe 20 years. They're doing that right now. They're releasing an NFT project. And I think it's like a random, you buy in and like randomly someone will get that like backstage access pass. Cool. It's just That's really cool. Cool to kind of reward fans, and it engages fans as well, which is really cool.
And in that sense, you're rewarding fans that might not have a massive big budget.
Right.
Because through the randomization, you could buy in at a much smaller level and win the jackpot. Mm-hmm. Back to your analogy, 21 Pilots, you know, it's funny. We published the mom recently, Tyler's mom. But the point is that they could go back. That's the other thing. Because mm-hmm. of the blockchain, these early bands or athletes or whatever, they could go back and say, now that they're huge, I want to go back to my first founders mm-hmm. that supported me when I was nothing and nobody.
Yeah.
And now we've won a Grammy, and they could essentially create what you're saying, off-chain benefits, mm-hmm. not presently even, but for the original investors.
Absolutely. The possibilities are endless in what you can do. And that's why I love it. That's why I'm so fascinated by it. And I also see, you know, projects that are doing really great things. So for instance, you mentioned nonprofits, mentioned bands. One of the projects that I'm really excited about right now is called Boss Beauties, which is run by a couple who've had a company that's been all about empowerment and education for girls and young women for many years. And that's what this project is all about. So you buy in, you're supporting that, and that's their mission. And as it becomes cooler and more people want it, it becomes more valuable. And the value has gone up over quite a bit over the last few days. But the mission is all about that. So you can feel like, okay, I bought into this cool project. It comes with a cool picture, but I'm actually supporting a great mission that I believe in. And you can see the things that they're doing all the time to support that and get excited about it versus like, oh, my friend works, or I know about this nonprofit, but I'm not, you know, personally involved in it. Now you're kind of invested in it, in its success, which is really cool.
And back to your point about the Picasso. So you owned a Picasso. Who are you going to show that to? You got to bring them over your house, or you got to, but now you're saying literally your smartphone and because of blockchain, the world.
Virtual gallery. Yeah.
I mean, you pop that into Decentraland, and millions of people are visiting and seeing, I mean, the utility even of the social currency alone, not to mention some of the video games, Axie Infinity. We've had some special people on in that arena. So let's ask you some of the stuff that's a little edgy. You ready for this?
Okay.
Did you lose money? Did you make money? What V friends included off-chain benefits? What were those? Give us kind of like the behind the curtain roller coaster of like, oh crud, did we make a bad decision? Oh, we were so smart. Give us some of that stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I've had plenty of wins, some losses. I'll tell you a couple things that I've lost money on. Give you the V friends update. So the V friends, like I mentioned, I bought five of them for about 20 ETH, which was about 40,000 back in May. I picked up one more, I think in August late August for 9.5 ETH, which at the time was about 32,000. They did very interesting. Gary was really hyping things in early September ahead of this announcement that ended up being that he was auctioning some physical art, some of the doodles behind the V friends at a Christie's auction. The announcement did not meet the hype, and the price had a big run up, and then it actually like really fell after that over the next several weeks.
Talk to us about that. So he thought the physical doodles with Christie's would be huge, but the response wasn't that big.
Well, the physical, it was cool, and they did sell for, I think, over $1 million or something like that. But he was really hyping it as this big announcement coming that's going to pump the price, you know, and you need to get in now. And then when the announcement came, people were like, oh, well, I mean, that's kind of cool, but it's not like as big as you made it out like it was going to be. And so the price started falling. It went up from, you know, I want to say around 10 ETH or $40,000 at the beginning of September all the way up to like, I think the high of like 24 ETH, which would have been you know, like 70,000 or something like that. And then it fell all the way back down to like 6 or 7 ETH over the last, you know, back in December. But lately it's been climbing back up again. So as you and I are recording this, I think the floor on VFriends is getting close to 14 ETH, which is like $48,000. Today, ETH is like 3,200. So I bought, so I have 6 of those. Some of them are rarer than others. One of them, the most expensive one I bought, at least at the time of the auction, which I'm wearing on my sweatshirt.
I love it.
Is called the Gift Goat. And so all of the VFriends tokens come with admission to VCon, which is the conference that Gary Vee is starting. And they come with admission to VCon in 2022, 23, and 24. He's never had a conference before. He's starting this. He's promised to make it essentially the best conference out there anywhere. And the only way to get in is by having a token, having an NFT. Mm-hmm. So it makes it scarce, right? There's only 10,000 out there. Some people have more than others, et cetera. So it already comes with that. And then this Gift Goat one that I bought comes with a minimum of 6 physical gifts per year for the next 3 years. So I know we didn't know what those were going to be, but my wife and I talked about it a bunch. We listened to every podcast interview he did. He kept talking about it. So we're like, all right, let's jump on this. We're more about experiences than things, but we decided that the experience of getting this stuff will be the experience of going through this. So as we record this, the first gift has come out. It came out in December. It was, he later decided that every gift, physical gift, would come with an NFT also. So 18 physical gifts, 18 NFTs.
Wow.
So in December, we got our first gift. It was a collaboration he did with an artist named Danny Cole, who has a project called Creature World. And he gave us a physical print that was signed by both of them, Danny and Gary, and an NFT that kind of represented. It's called Goat's Arrival in Creature World, I think.
Okay.
And anyway, the NFTs, there's only 555 of these goats. Those NFTs are available. You can go on OpenSea, which is like the marketplace for NFTs. Yeah. I think the cheapest one right now is maybe about 3 ETH, so maybe close to 10,000. So you could look at that and then say whatever the print is worth. I've almost made my money back in the first, maybe not quite as, but half of my money back at least in the first gift. And there's still 17 more gifts coming. Also, the price of these has gone up. So I think one sold today for 38 ETH, which, you know, I bought it for 5. So let's say I'm using a calculator. That's, 38 times 3,200, about $121,000 is what one sold for today. So let's say that's about what it's worth right now. I bought it for 20K in May, and now it's worth 120,000, and it's going to come with all these gifts. So that's been a nice win.
And 3 conferences.
Yeah. And I think, like, if we're just being open about numbers, you know, the 6 VFriends I've had, I invested about 70,000. They're probably worth maybe close to $500,000 right now, I'm going to say, for the 6 of them. So it's, they've done quite well. There's some other projects I've bought into that have done really well. Another one I bought early because of Gary was World of Women, which is another like women's empowerment project. I have 2 of those there. I think floor is about 4 ETH right now. Eva Longoria bought one yesterday and tweeted about it, which is kind of cool. Yeah. Wow. You know, celebrity involvement, I think, is going to be, and I saw that coming with Bored Ape Yacht Club.
Yeah, Eminem bought one.
Yeah, recently. Steph Curry bought one and changed his profile picture. And then I saw Jimmy Kimmel and I was like, oh, it's over. And it's really taken off since then. So those, you know, I missed those. But I got the Mutant, which has gone up. You know, that's, I think their floor is like 15 ETH right now. So, you know, $45,000, $50,000, something like that. But I've bought a couple things that have gone down. I've been scammed. Once, and you talk to most, I think, veterans in NFT world, everybody has their story of being scammed. So I got excited about a launch of a new project, and you know, the founders were anonymous, but there was a lot of hype. And I, like, minting time came on like a Sunday, and I jumped in and bought it before really digging in and doing research and like seeing what was going on. And right after I bought, I think like 5 of these, there were a bunch of people on Twitter and in the Discord saying, this is a scam. It's a rug pull. Don't buy it. And I was like, oh, I already did. So I think I lost about $1,800 to $1,000 on that. It was a it was an expensive lesson learned. It could have been a lot worse.
But comparatively speaking, but see, that's interesting. You know, even the entrepreneurial world, I think entrepreneurs, even the word bearer of risk.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, going into this, it's risky. It's a lot of ups and downs. There's another one, just to like, it doesn't sound like all flowers and rainbows for me. It was like an art project from this artist in New Zealand that a friend of mine was into, and it was just going up and up and up every day. And it was one of those, like, I don't want to, you know, like FOMO is a big driver in this world. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, I don't want to miss this. And I watched it go up and the next day go up, and I'm like, oh, finally, I'm going to jump on this. And I did. And I bought it at like the exact top of the market, and it just has gone straight down since then. Now, I didn't, you know, we're talking a few thousand dollars I've lost, nothing compared to, again, the gains outweigh the losses. Yeah. But, you know, this is a risky proposition. And that's why, like Gary and others always say, only play with money that, you know, you can afford to lose.
Yes.
And things also move really quickly and people get impatient. So you buy into something and you see like this great long-term vision, but then like everybody else gets impatient and leaves. And so the prices drop, you know, kind of thing. So that's been interesting to watch. An example of that is, do you follow Tom Bilyeu, Impact Theory?
Yes.
So, you know, Tom Bilyeu founded Quest Nutrition and sold like $1 billion or something. And he started Impact Theory, which has been this really successful podcast, YouTube mm-hmm. channel. And he launched an NFT project, I want to say in October, something like that. And he has this really long, like 20-year vision for it. It's kind of like buying into a startup company that has this really long roadmap. But the price hasn't really gone anywhere. It hasn't gone up. Like, you know, I bought several of them. It's been pretty flat, you know, compared with like a VFriends or something else. And I think part of the reason is he's not in there like hyping things up. He's just like at work. He's just like going to work building his company.
Yeah.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes people get really impatient. But I think that's another good example of, hey, here's this guy I believe in. Mm-hmm. And the reason I bought it is I really love his mission, which is to, I think, instill a growth mindset in every kid by the time they're 15 or something like that. Yeah. Like, it's a really awesome mission, right? And
he wants his wife, Lisa, they're a power couple.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lisa founded it with him and they're creating all these other projects. They'd released one called Mary Mods, which is like, apparently the two of them are obsessed with Christmas. I found out later, okay. Like really obsessed with just like the whole, they're not even religious, right? Just the whole idea of Christmas.
Yeah.
They came out with this Christmas project. They're creating an animated series, all this stuff. So anyway, like you take someone like that and you're like, I follow them. I believe in them. Let me buy into this and see what they do with it. Right. And so I think there's going to be a lot more and more opportunities like that with influential people, entrepreneurs, artists, whatever you follow. So like Gary Vee is my guy. You might have somebody else, right? That you're like, oh, I really follow this, you know, whatever. It could be artist, could be an entrepreneur, could be a religious leader, it could be a politician, like could be anybody, right? There's just like so much possibility. And that's what gets me excited.
All right. So here's a couple lightning round questions. This has been amazing, by the way, because folks, Andy, when I reached out to him, he said, I'm kind of a new guy to the NFT space. And I knew you would deliver, but you've over delivered, man. You gave us the inside track to earning money, losing money. And again, this isn't an investment show, so don't do anything, folks, and say we told you.
Yeah.
But couple things. So you're a creator, you're an author. I see your book in the background. Yesterday, the folks who spoke talked about being producers in this space. I heard a lot today, and nothing wrong with that, but I heard a lot today about you being a consumer in this space and an investor. And I mean, it's amazing. Do you ever feel that you will be a producer in this space too? Or is that like, nah, I'd rather ride the, you know, be in the game rather than, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's a good question. It has definitely been something that's been on my mind. Up to this point, you're right. I've been a consumer and investor.
That's fine. Yeah.
I am a creator, right, of content. I've got a book. I have three podcasts. I produce content almost every single day on social media. So I'm definitely a creator when it comes to like the social media world and, you know, that sort of stuff. And therefore, I do think there's an opportunity there. And I've been thinking about, you know, creating an NFT from my podcast or my book. I'm kind of waiting for the right idea. I don't, you know, it's the same thing with like, I consume books for, you know, decades, right?
Yes,
before I finally, finally produced one. And I know you've written many books and know the benefits of that. And I finally had the right idea. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to just write a book to write a book, but I'm like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
And put it together. And so
I think we lost Andy.
Yep.
Talk to us again. You said, no, we got you now. So you said you waited a while to write your first book and then.
Yeah. I mean, I waited a while to write the first book until the right opportunity, you know, the right idea was there. And so, and then I wrote the book and published that. I think with NFTs, you know, watching everything that's going on, I'm learning, I'm thinking through some ideas, but I think eventually I will dip my toe into the water.
Perfect. Perfect. Here's what I'm going to do, Andy. Jump on and jump back off, because I think the Wi-Fi is glitchy. But I'll say a few things. Jump on, jump off, because I want to bring you back in. So, folks, Andy's fantastic, hasn't he been? The guy has a podcast around NFTs as well. So if this topic has got you excited, if it has piqued your curiosity, I want you to watch and listen to Andy's podcast. Andy, what is your podcast name?
So the new podcast is called My NFT Journey. And the whole idea was just to share my journey through NFTs and teach the things that I've been learning, because I know a lot of other people are going to be jumping into this space. A lot of companies are jumping into this space. And, you know, it's a side fun project like what you're doing to share my journey, to educate others. And hopefully build my brand in the space as well.
I love it. I love it. So we caught all that when you hopped off. I just was pumping your podcast. So I like what you're saying. You're saying rather than just create an NFT project, just because you want to be thoughtful. And I know Gary V did a lot of research before he launched his own. I'm doing a lot of research. I don't know if I'm going to be launched, you know, technically I already have an NFT collection on OpenSea, from my artwork that I did 20 years ago when I was, Writer's Block is my project. Hmm. And, that's the first time I've ever shared that publicly. So I'm not even really selling or in that, but I just thought, you know, the only way I'm going to learn is to jump in.
Yep.
And so
that's it. That's the way to learn. People want to learn, like go buy something and then maybe think about creating something. It's really not that hard. So I'm just waiting for the right, you know, right idea. I'm talking to an artist friend about it who has his own collection, who said he wanted to help me and create something for me. So, you know, it's going to come soon. I just want it to be the right thing.
That's so cool. All right. So that was one question. What's in the future for you? You know, you've made a good run at some investments here. Where are you going to go with all this? Like, maybe it's secret stuff, but what do you see the future?
No, there's no secrets. I mean, you know, I'm still building my business, right? In the corporate space and the communities I run, and my brand. I want to make a bigger impact on the world. And I think hopefully this will help enable me to do that. And I also see most of the NFTs I've bought as long-term investments, kind of like with stocks. So it's only been a few months, right? If you bought Amazon and held it for a few months, people wouldn't be asking like, well, what's your plan? Like, I'm going to hold it for 20 years, you know, like I have. I first started buying Amazon and Apple stock in 2011. It's been 10 years and they're still, and Tesla as well. I mean, they're still great companies, right? I'm holding, just like I'll probably hold these for a long time. That said, I mean, my wife and I, you know, it's good to have your spouse on board. If you're getting into this game, we talk about our long-term plans and like house we might want to buy and things like that. So you got to kind of figure out what's your time horizon, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then I definitely want to get into creating and, you know, maybe helping others in this space down the road, which is kind of why I created that podcast.
Is there going to be a price that you're going to sell your favorite NFT for?
That gift goat, I don't think so. I don't think there's, I mean, everybody has a price, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think so. In fact, my wife and I had this conversation the other night because I was like, I was getting really excited because one sold for a whole bunch of money, like 41 ETH, whatever I mentioned. And then like the floor, which is like the cheapest one, was like 48, you know, which is like 150,000 or something. And I was like, look how expensive they are. And she was like, well, why does it matter if you're never going to sell it? I'm like, I don't know. It's just fun. Right? Like,
wow.
But I'm excited to see what is going to come in the future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's promising big things. And there's still 17 gifts left. Right. So I don't want to miss out on that game because I think they're just going to get bigger and better as he continues to do bigger and better things. And I know that, you know, if we make a decision like, hey, we want to use the money for something else, maybe we'll do it. But I would hate to miss out on that. Right. And there's just so much possibility that it's a tough decision to ever sell one of those things if you really believe in it.
Two more questions. Thanks for being here, by the way.
Yeah,
man. You had your own health journey the last couple years. Certainly since I saw you in London.
Yeah.
What give us the quick story, and are you okay, and what's going on, as much as you want to share?
Yeah, sure. I've been completely open and sharing a lot of this on social. So in October of 2020, I started experiencing a lot of pain, found out I had a lump on my testicle that turned into testicular cancer. I had surgery 2 days after I published my book and to get rid of that. And then I found out the cancer had spread to my stomach and my neck. It was like stage 2C or stage 3 testicular cancer. And doctors recommended chemotherapy like pretty quickly. I'm a bit of a naturalist, holistic kind of guy. So I researched and started doing a lot of natural things. It wasn't enough. I was in a lot of pain. So I ended up doing chemotherapy starting in January of 2021. You know, about the same time I'm getting into all this stuff, like on the side, kind of like in the hospital and then laying on the couch, right? Like with a phone, like still doing social media and researching this stuff and trying to keep my business going. So did chemotherapy as well as like tons of research, tons of reading, big changes from a health perspective. In March, I finished the chemo. I did a scan. Doctor recommended one more cycle of chemo. I took a weekend to really reflect and think about where I wanted to go and ended up turning that down and deciding that I think my body can heal on its own. Invested in some other really expensive, like natural things. And kept doing all the things I knew I needed to do to keep my body healthy and, pretty much got back in the gym, started doing yoga again, lifting weights, traveling with my family. And then it took a while, but, in December I got a CT scan finally to kind of see if the cancer was gone. And I actually just got a call from my oncologist this past Saturday, like 4 days ago, saying that, the scan came back normal and my cancer is gone. I'm officially in remission. So it all worked out. And
praise God, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I was a bald guy like you for a while. I lost all my hair, but I got it back and, the hair I don't care about, but more importantly, my health and I'm here for my family, which I'm excited about.
Absolutely. Well, listen, man, this was mind blowing. We'll have to bring you back when you make more investments and, you know, dominate the space. So thank you. And again, tell us, own your career, own your life is your book, My NFT Journey is your podcast, anything else?
Yeah, I mean, the book, Own Your Career, Own Your Life, as you mentioned, My NFT Journey. I'm pretty active on all the socials. I'm on Twitter every day talking NFT stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm also active on LinkedIn and Instagram if anybody wants to connect with me there, especially to talk more career and personal development. But if you're in the NFT world, everything's on Twitter. And you can listen to my podcast, My NFT Journey. And I'm excited to keep in touch with you, Carrie, about your journey living the blockchain life. And I appreciate you having me on.
All right, folks, have a great day and follow Andy. He is exciting to watch.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.